We're doing Tehillim, we're up to the 63rd chapter, Mizmor LeDavid. The following song, David HaMelech composed as a song of praise when he was in the desert that's at the border of the Judean territory. He's running from King Saul. Mizmor LeDavid b'yoto b'midbar Yehuda Elohim Eliyata Ashachareka. He turns to Hashem and says, you are my strength. Hashem, Eliyata, you are my strength. You've always been my strength. And that is why Ashachareka, I seek you out. Shocher means to seek. That's why Shachar is the morning, because that's when you can seek. That's when you can see. That's when you can discern to seek what you're seeking. So Ashachareka, I will seek you out. Tzame'al lecha nafshi, my soul thirsts for you. Kamah lecha v'sari, my flesh yearns for you. Be'eretz tziya ve'ayef bili mayim, I yearn for you like one who is walking in parched, desolate land that has no water. So that's a time when a person yearns for water. So do I yearn for you, Hashem. So there's a lot that needs to be discussed here. What does it mean that my soul is thirsting and my flesh is yearning? The flesh is yearning for Hashem? Why is the flesh yearning for Hashem? Isn't the flesh the physical? So that the presence of Hashem, though, permeates through the spiritual and the physical. When the people of Israel are eating man, they don't have to go to the bathroom. Hashem's presence affects everything. It's not only on a spiritual sense. And that's why when Am Yisrael initially receives the Torah, Ani amarti Elokim atem, uvnei elyon kulchem, you weren't supposed to die. That physical death should have been abolished when we were elevated to a higher level. So not only the soul, but also the physical yearns for Hashem. Be'eretz tziya ve'ayef, in land that is desolate and thirsting for water. Bili mayim, for lack of water. So just as the land that lacks water doesn't bear fruit, it has potential, but it doesn't realize that potential. So too the soul and the flesh that lack Hashem cannot produce their fruit that they have the potential to produce. So I yearn for you, Hashem. Kein bakodesh chazitihicha lirot uzecha uchvodecha. Kein, just as bakodesh chazitihicha, just as I saw you in the holy place, I so too, I yearn lirot uzecha uchvodecha, to see again your might, your aron, your honor. That is my yearning. Kain, so too, just like that thirst, bakodesh chaziticha, I yearn for seeing you, for connecting with you in the holy, near the ark, near the aron. He didn't yet have a mikdash. In David's time, there was no mikdash. There was a mishkan, but the aron and the mishkan were separate.
Where the aron was where they had the kohanim, and that Shaul had his subordinates killed them all.
Correct.
Where was that again?
Nov. So the Mishkan went from Gilgal to Shiloh to Nov to Yerushalayim, and the Aron went from Midbar to Gilgal to Shiloh. When Shiloh was destroyed, so they set up a place of worship for Hashem by Nov, and the Aron went throughout Philistine territory until it came back to Beit Shemesh, and then it stayed in Beit Shemesh till they were going to bring it up to Jerusalem. There was a tragedy en route, so the Aron remained for a year in Kiryat Yearim in Telstone, and then finally it went up to Yerushalayim. The Aron was at this time still in Beit Shemesh.
Hold on. But then, because in Sefer Shmuel it talks about how the Aron was taken up from Beit Shemesh to Kiryat Yearim long before David even comes to the scene, and this is already no.
Look it up. You'll see. So the different commentaries here really differ about whether he's talking about Shiloh or he's talking about the Aron. They meant the two interpretations of what he means. I miss the closeness of your holy place. Is he talking about the place of the Aron? Or because that's Uzcha, we find the Aron is called the strength of Israel. Or Kodesh is a reference to Shiloh. Kitov Chasdecha. Because your kindness is greater than life itself. All the kindness that you impart upon us when you give us life is sfatai yeshabechuncha, for the purpose that we sing your praise, that my lips sing your praise. There is no other point in life, and so my yearning is to come back to your holy presence to give you this praise. Another interpretation here is ki tov chasdecha, your kindness is so great, mechayim, from the life that you give the wicked. Your kindness is greater than that. There is a greater kindness waiting for the righteous. Ki tov chasdecha, your kindness in the world to come is better than chayim, the life you grant the wicked in this world. And svatai yeshabechuncha, so my lips sing your praise, because I recognize that even though right now I'm out here in exile, and I know that it's not fair, the wicked seem to have the upper hand, I have to be chased for doing nothing wrong, but nonetheless, I know what's yet to come is even better. Kain avarechecha v'chayai b'shimcha esachapai. Kain avarechecha v'chayai. When I will be in that holy place in your presence, so I will bless you, and by the same token, I will continue blessing you throughout my life. Bishimcha, when I hear your name, Esachapai, I lift my arms towards you, the palms of my hand, as I pray towards you. So my prayer, my focus on where's my hope focused to? It's focused towards you. Kein avarechecha b'chayai, just as I bless you in my life in this world, Bishimcha esa chapai. I know that I will also be able to open my arms in prayer and say your name in prayer in the world to come. That's the other interpretation, going in line with the other interpretation we spoke about earlier. Kmo chelev vadeshen tisba nafshihi v'siftei rinanot yehalel pi. You notice the rhyme scheme over here, right? Yes. Ken avrecha bechayai, bishimcha esa chapai. כמו חלב הדשן תשבע נפשי, וספתר ננות יעל אל פי. Yeah. כמו חלב ודשן, just as good fats and sustenance, תשבע נפשי, my soul is satiated, just as my soul gets satiated from luscious food, so too v'siftei renanot yalel pi, so too my soul is only satiated if my mouth sings your praise. Yeah, you see the allegory? He's saying, your kindness is greater, and because your kindness is greater than life, my lips give you praise. Just as I sing in my life, so too I lift my hands whenever your name is mentioned in prayer, and like good food sustains my life, so too good praise is what my soul wants to say from my lips, from my mouth. Im zechalticha al yitzuahai, I remember you even when I lie down to sleep at night. When I get up in the middle of the night, I'm thinking about you. I'm always focused on you. And that's really the focus of this song. Yes? Elokim Eli Ata Ashachareka. The song is focused about how I seek you out. My soul yearns for you. I yearn to be close to you. I think about you. I sing about you. I feel like just as I need to eat, so do I need to praise you. Even as I lie in bed, I think of you. I get up in the middle of the night, I'm thinking of you. Because you are always my help. I know I'm always in your shadow. You're taking me under your wing. And so my song is when I know I'm under the shadow of your wing. You give me this great salvation because my soul clings to follow you. And so I have merited that your right hand supports me. And they, King Saul and his men, remember King David is singing the song when he's out in the deserts on the outskirts of Judean territory on the run from King Saul. He says, look at how they look to destroy my soul. They're looking to destroy me. Yavo b'tachtiyot aretz. They come upon me from different caves and paths that they had. They had these tunnels through the ground. So yavo b'tachtiyot aretz. They come, it's as though they're coming up from the depths of the ground. Yagiru al yedei charev. It's a one long thought. Yagiru al yedei charev menat shualim yiyu. Yagiru. They pour him out al yedei charev through their swords menat shualim yiyu. That lot should be for the faxen. How do they scare him? Yagiruhu. The word yagiruhu could either be like hamayim anigarim arza, to pour out, or yagiruhu could come from the word magor, fear. Yagiruhu al yedei charev. They scare him by the sword. They. How do they scare my soul? By sword, they're threatening me to kill me. Minat shalim yiyu. But that sword should only be used against the foxen, not against me. There are many interpretations on this pasuk. Another interpretation is yagiruhu. Let they be scared. Let my enemies be scared al yedei charev. Let they be scared by the sword of their enemies. Minat shalim yiyu. Let they be consumed by the foxen. So there are many interpretations on how to understand this verse. Ve'hamelech yismach be'elohim. She says, they should be scared, but I, the king, let me be happy in Hashem. Yitalel kol hanishba avo ki yisacher pi dovrei shacher. Now, this is very strange. If the pasuk is talking about David, so King Saul is still king. He's chasing him to kill him. So David speaks about himself, v'amelech yismach b'ashem. So King David was already anointed king. It's true. This is after the Navi Shmuel anointed him. He says, so I, the king, yismach b'elokim, will be happy in the salvation of Hashem. Yitalel kol anishba vo. Whoever takes a vow in Hashem's name can take pride, it can take praise, because he can be confident that Hashem brings one salvation. Ki yisachir bi dovrei shachir. Because we will witness still how Hashem closes the mouths of those who lie. So David HaMelech says, I know Shaul and his men use cunning and they keep on lying to me and they use deceit and they have people who turn their backs on me and they're doing everything they can to bring me down. But I know that ultimately I will be happy with Hashem. I'll be able to take praise because I've taken my vows in Him. I've been a fair and honest person. And all those people that are deceitful, they will have their mouths shut. So it's interesting. David begins the chapter speaking about how he yearns for Hashem. He yearns for the closeness to Hashem. He's always thinking about Hashem. And he knows that his support is from Hashem. And with that strength, he turns to mention in the final three verses of this chapter how he has to contend with a situation where everyone wants to kill him. And people are lying to him and they're coming from every angle to try and kill him. But let them be scared. Let they live in fear of the sword. Let they be consumed by the foxen. I have to run out here in the desert, but they should be the ones ending up being attacked by foxen. I should be happy by Hashem because I've been honest with Hashem. I've been faithful to Hashem. And all those who lie around me, though, they should have their mouths shut. So that's the chapter, the famous chapter of Midbar Yehuda.